Welcome to the Aging Confidently podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Karen Weaver, your host, and today's guest is Debbie Trammell, and she owns Sitters Registry, which is an elder care service. Thank you so much for being here, Debbie. I think this is going to be a very interesting topic. I feel like a lot of times when I have questions, there's about these kind of things, and talking with girlfriends that they have questions, that a lot of people have questions. So this is going to be great. Before we get started about elder care and that topic, tell me a little bit about how you got into the business, I guess, and what led you to Sitters Registry.
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting story, I guess, but, you know, I've been doing this for about 30 plus years, wow. 32 or three. So after my children were born, I stayed at home, stay-at-home mom. And then after a little bit, like 3 or 4 years, I thought, you know, I want to do something. Mm-hmm. So just kind of out of the blue, a friend of mine called and said, you know, would you be interested in like a business you could work from home? And I'm thinking, yeah, I probably would. So a friend of hers that I didn't really know, she and another friend of hers had started a business called Jack and Jill Sitters Registry. Okay. So that was where you could call us and schedule a sitter for a Friday evening or all weekend to come to your home. It wasn't like daycare. Mm-hmm. It was just come to your home.
So this is for kids?
For children.
Oh, wow.
For children.
Okay. Yeah.
All children, babies. We did new mother care.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would book like all of the Clemson home games, the South Carolina home games, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So after about, 10 years, 8 years mm-hmm. into it, we started getting calls for, well, you know, the same people, but it would be for their grandparents, mm-hmm. or do you have someone that could do that? So it just evolved. So I had a business partner at the time, and so we just, you know, we were doing both for a long time. We would do children and elder care. The elder care business kept growing and growing. We were on the list at the hospitals, you know, mm-hmm. to call for caregivers. And so we had to make a decision because we couldn't really do both because the babysitters did not want to do the elder care and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So we dropped the babysitting, and we had a lot of unhappy moms.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
But I really felt like someone would pick it up and run with it, but they didn't. So we just focused all of our efforts on elder care. Mm-hmm. So
was that, you feel like the demand was more and more,
yes.
more calls for that,
yes.
than the other?
Yes.
Wow.
But you have to remember too, this was, 30 years mm-hmm. ago, and we were the only show in town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were in Pickens County, always have been. There were very few, if any, home care services in the area.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a big business mm-hmm. then like it is now. But, of course, through the years, it's become more and more. So we cover Greenville County and Pickens County. We're one of hundreds of home care services mm-hmm. now. But what makes us a little unique is that, you know, we're privately owned. Mm-hmm. I still own the business. Mm-hmm. It's not a franchise. And I'm not saying franchises are bad. It's just different, mm-hmm. you know. So,
well, it's definitely the personal touch mm-hmm, when it comes mm-hmm. from you. And I know you personally and how caring and compassionate you are and passionate for the business. And it definitely, you have your soul in it.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
you look at those people, you know,
yeah,
every day
yeah,
that work
yeah.
with you and for you and your clients. So I can, mm-hmm. I can see why that would be different.
But, you know, that's how it started. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I had this tremendous vision. Mm-hmm. It's just, it evolved.
Yeah.
It really did.
Well, I bet you are getting busier now as that
yes.
baby boomer generation
mm-hmm.
is getting older. I bet it's just, you
well,
have job
security.
Well,
of which I am one. You know, as far as the baby boomers, because they actually range from 55 to 73.
Okay.
So that is, you know.
Really?
55?
Yeah,
55.
Wow,
yeah.
I didn't realize it was that.
Baby
yet.
Boomers are considered those born in 1946.
Mm-hmm.
to 1964.
Okay. Wow.
So, and there's 10,000 a day mm-hmm. that are going into retirement.
Wow.
So, you know, the thing about that is that the resources are getting harder and harder to come by
mm-hmm.
because even, you know, Social Security, and nobody can just live on that,
mm-hmm.
it seems like, anymore. And healthcare costs are just
It's staggering.
It is.
And we will definitely talk about some of those kind of practical money matters, especially like long-term care insurance. I do want to get into that. But there's a lot of us out there that are kind of those bookend kids where, you know, we're raising our own kids, but then we have parents who are getting older. And I want to say in the beginning here that I'm so fortunate to have both of my parents still alive, because I have lots of friends who've lost one or both parents. So it's a privilege, you know, to have our parents still. And we want to help them in the best way possible. We all have, probably most of us have good intentions, you know, for our parents. The Google and the internet can be great, but it's also so overwhelming. You don't know what information to trust and where to go and what do I need to know now. So for myself, as you know, being in my 40s, but then also for my parents, for their care, you know, when, because I know some of these decisions are very time sensitive. So we'll just dive right in. I'm going to start with one of my my friend's questions, because I think this is the main part of the topic too. Her question was, how do you help when your intentions are pure but your input is unwanted?
Yeah, we deal with that on a daily basis. And, you know, I find that most of the time that's going to be a daughter, not a son, because for some reason, you know, sons seem to be, I'm not going to say more respected, but mom and dad are going to kind of look at them in a different way than they do the daughter. The daughter is the caregiver, the nurturer, and the son is, you know, he's more the business part of it, you know. But it's really wonderful when both can work together. But there's no easy answer for that. You know, you've got to build that relationship, and you have to be strong as the child to persevere, you know, to even, you know, you have to take some of that criticism and just realize that you're doing the right thing. The really hard decisions are the ones about whether they're to stay at home or go to a facility. You know, and sometimes staying at home is not an option. It really isn't. Now, when we go to the home, you know, we can help with a lot of those day-to-day activities, the activities of daily living, it's called. And that will help that daughter a little bit, or the son, or the child that's getting the negative feedback, you know. But a lot of times we find that even though the mom and dad are pushing back and pushing back, once we get started and they build a relationship with that caregiver, then everything is okay.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the daughter who's, you know, done all this, it's okay now, you know. So I think a lot of it is just perseverance.
So we can expect maybe some rough waters, but that doesn't necessarily, it's like, just like teenagers.
Exactly.
It doesn't necessarily back and throw your hands up. It means just stick with it and work through it. And probably most times,
You know, you can't just say, okay, I'm done.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say it, but
it's not practical.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
So I know every circumstance is different. So we'll just talk in generalities, because I know you even said, you know, a lot of times it depends. So in general, what would you say the appropriate age frame would be to start having these conversations with your parents? So I'll use me as an example. I'm mid-40s. My parents are mid to late 70s. And so I would say, what's the appropriate timing, and what are some good questions to start that dialogue with our parents?
Well, the time to start is well before you need it, you know, because there's the healthcare power of attorney, the durable power of attorney, the wills, you know. Do you want life support? You know, let's talk about this. You know, don't wait until there's a serious illness or, you know, there's some dementia that's already started. You know, start, I don't know, 60-ish, you know, when they're still.
The sooner the better.
Yeah.
And maybe when they're not going to be as defensive about it, at that point where they're already feeling like they're losing their independence, it's a little bit more of a practical business kind of conversation.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so, and those are hard conversations to have, but later on, it's so important. Like, my parents are 85 and 90, so, I mean, I'm right there with all my clients. But, you know, fortunately, I have the sweetest mom and dad. They just pretty much go along with anything I say, you know. But they did come to me and say, you know, we need to get these power attorneys done and all that. So, you know, that was easy. But it's not always that easy.
Yeah. So questions, the legal part of it, where can people find information about maybe a checklist of some legal documents that they need to get in place as part of that conversation?
Right. Well, you know, I hate to say it, but you can actually go on the internet and just Google that.
Okay.
And you can come up with a lot of information. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I work in partnership with... they're called Aging Life Managers, and they're fabulous.
Aging Life Managers.
Yes, and these are social workers that are trained specifically in elder care, and they cover all the areas that you could imagine need to be covered. Mm-hmm. For instance, I just printed off some information from one of this businesses that I work with in Greenville. And so they divided up into health and disability, finances, housing, family, local resources, advocacy, legal, and crisis intervention.
Oh, yeah.
So that covers everything because we find so often that we get that call from a daughter or a son in a crisis.
Right.
You know, everything's going okay, then mom falls and breaks her hip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we do now? You know, then there's that whole go to the hospital, she has surgery, and then she's going to rehab, then she goes home, can she be by herself, what are we going to do? You know, we don't have the money to put her in a facility. You know, it's just on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So these aging life managers are fabulous.
Where do you find them?
Well, I'm sure she wouldn't mind me mentioning her name, but I work with Bonnie Silberman with Geriatric Resource Services, and in Greenville, they are wonderful.
Okay.
And there's others in Greenville, but I've just always worked with her. And her staff can handle any of those situations, and they'll go out and do an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And if they think that that person needs, you know, private home care, then they'll suggest, you know, several home care services like mine, because, you know, they got to get the right fit. Well, they may not be able to stay at home, so then they may recommend a facility. And then you navigate that whole, well, where do you go, and how much is it going to cost? And, you know, it's really the cost of aging is mind-boggling.
Significant.
So that's definitely part of that conversation that you have early on, you know, about their finances. And that's very hard to talk to your mom and dad about their money.
Yes.
But it's just something you have to do, because you have to know, are they going to have the resources to go to a nursing home because Medicare doesn't pay 100% of nursing home or assisted living?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's very expensive. And, you know, if they need to be on Medicaid, but you know, Medicaid doesn't help the average person. It just helps those that are really destitute, which is a wonderful program for those that need it. But so many of us wouldn't qualify for that.
Right.
So it's, you know, you have choices like moving your mom and dad in with you, okay, which they don't want to do that, and you probably don't either. But the choices are really few when you really think about it, when it gets to that point. Now, a lot of people are able to stay at home and age in place, which is where they really want to be.
Of course.
And then we can help with that, you know.
So, okay, say the name again. What's it called again? The resource?
Geriatric Resource Services.
Geriatric Resource Services. And then what is the overall name that you said of what that's called?
Aging Life Managers.
Aging Life Managers. So a lot of people who may be listening to this may not be in Greenville. They just may be in California, for instance. Is this something that, can you Google Aging Life Managers in your area and find somebody?
Yeah, that's a whole association.
Okay, great. Yeah. Good. And that's your front line. That's your front line that you may even want to get them in early on to help. Will they come in early on to help make a plan, devise a plan, so you're not waiting for the emergency?
But, you know, that's a service that the family has to pay for.
Okay.
So, you know, I can't necessarily call them in for the family. I can make that suggestion, and then a lot of times they call, and then they take it from there. But I've had situations where I have a client that there is no family locally.
Mm-hmm.
There's no children. You know, we have a client now that is pretty much in that situation. So I feel like my responsibility is huge there, even though I'm not responsible, but I feel like I am.
You're stepping into that role,
right.
That child, you know, the caregiver
right.
role.
Right, because, you know, do they need to go to the hospital?
Right.
What do we need to do?
Yeah.
So I called, you know, my friend Bonnie and said, look, this is the situation. Mm-hmm. He really needs your help, because she could go in and she could give him some options about, you know, living, like maybe where he should be living, if he shouldn't be at home
right.
alone, that kind of thing. Just just have a conversation. But and I can do that, but I don't feel as qualified,
yeah.
you know, as them, because they are licensed social workers, trained in elder care, and they have a lot of knowledge that I do not have.
Right.
You know, especially that legal and financial piece of it.
That yeah. I mean, that alone is. Just like anything, financial probably causes the most stress. I mean, and losing the independence and the control.
Yeah,
I've seen that with my grandparents, that grasping for control. But financial, I mean, that's a big part of it, is the
it's
control,
huge.
You know, because
yeah.
you then don't have as many options and decision making that you might have if you have the resources. So aging life managers, they may even be, I would think, worth the expense to come in is even a mediator, if you will, because
right.
it takes the emotion out of it. You know, if we can just come up with a plan, I think that's half the battle. You come up with a plan, then everybody feels fine. You execute the plan, you know,
yes.
before you need the plan.
Yeah.
right?
Well, see, that's part of it. What we say is the process for them and for us, or for any service, is, first of all, it's the phone consult.
Okay.
You know, they're calling us in a panic because they don't know what to do. They're at the hospital. Their mom's going to be discharged, and what are we going to do when we take her home, kind of thing.
Yes.
So we do the phone consultation, and then we go out and do the assessment and the care planning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can do some assessments as far as figuring out what are they able to do. Are they mobile?
Mm-hmm.
Can they get to the bathroom and handle that on their own? Can they shout? Most people cannot shower or shouldn't be showering without standby assistance after, you know, 75. I mean, really.
Wow.
Especially if they've got any health issues at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's meal planning and preparation. There's overseeing medications. There's so many things that you and I take for granted that just don't happen.
Yeah.
You know, especially if there's some dementia involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't remember. You know, medication is huge. In fact, a lot of jobs that we get is just because mom and dad don't take their medication correctly.
Well, sure. Even at my age, I can't remember if I put conditioner in my hair.
It's so great.
That's a rich old time. I don't even know what's going to happen when I'm 70.
Listen, I think it's brain overload is
yeah,
what I say.
I know.
But, you know, but then, you know, we do the assessment and the planning, and then we do the implementation.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three... what I call the major steps. And that's pretty much what any social worker or home care, home health care, because there's so many different, there's so many options for the elderly now. You know, you've got the home care service like ours, home health care, which is different. Then you've got physical therapy, occupational therapy. And then Bonnie Silberman's service, geriatric resource services, that can kind of manage all of that. It's a lot.
So what's the difference between what you do in the home health care?
Home health care can provide skilled nurses, and they provide the occupational and physical therapy. So we work hand in hand with them. They don't always provide someone to just come and stay during the day. And then, of course, hospice is a huge help to all of us.
I had that question for you, actually. Is it your type of service that you then work with the family and help the family know when it's time to call in hospice? Are you the handoff person?
You know, we have those conversations, but I always redirect them back to their doctor.
Oh, okay.
You know, I just don't feel like I should make that decision. But see, today, hospice is... two different services. It's end of life, which we're all familiar with, but then they offer a service called palliative care, And palliative care is just maintaining life. Mm-hmm. And they provide so many wonderful services, and they bring free everything, you know, free, not medication always, but just supplies, you know, Ensure, pads for the bed, hospital bed, you know, whatever you might need.
That is another service, though. You cannot wait till the last minute.
Correct.
Because as my aunt was very sick and passing away, and it started to happen very, very quickly, and we could not get them in fast enough. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's another service that you just be a little proactive. Nobody wants to. I mean, I'm talking more the end of life.
Right,
the palliative,
right.
Maybe it. You maybe have a little bit more time because it's not that urgent, maybe right then. But you think, you know, you're going to call these agencies like hospice and they're there within hours. That's not the case, that we have found. So it's another thing to just make sure you have that part of the plan in place. And like you said, work with the doctor, make sure you've even, you know who you're going to call, right? Yeah. Like which agency you're going to call, because there's several in each town. And so being as I guess proactive and talking and thinking about these things that we really don't want to think or talk about, but like any hard conversation.
Right.
I'm going to pause just a second, and just for our Facebook Live people, anybody who's out there watching, if you do have a question for Debbie, go ahead and put it in the comments below. There are no stupid questions. If you have it, I can promise you somebody else is going to have it. So if you have any questions, please feel free to put those down there, and we will look at the end of our interview here and see if we can get those answered. So you were talking about, you know, services and facilities, and like I said before, a person could be listening in California to this. So what are some tips some things to look for when you're looking to hire a home care service or actually have to put our loved one in a facility? Mm-hmm. What have you seen to be the best questions to ask, things to look for?
Well, for our area, and I'm assuming all across the country, I mean, first of all, people are looking for qualified individuals, and they're looking for dependability. That's huge. That is huge. So in South Carolina, we're required to be licensed by DHEC. So that means at time of hire, we're doing background checks, criminal background checks, drug tests. They have to have TB testing and health assessments to say that they're capable of doing this type of work. Then we require driving records, because sometimes they're driving these folks around. They have to have proof of insurance, you know, all those things. Yeah. If you find out, I mean, what you can say, are you licensed by DHEC? So if the answer is yes, then you know all that's taken care of. The scary part of this home care service is there's so many people out there just doing it off the street.
Right.
And they can be doing that for a little less money per hour, because, of course, a bona fide business like mine, we're paying a lot of money for workers' compensation, and then, of course, there's taxes and insurance and all that. But if we send someone to your house or to your parents' house and they fall and break their leg, then you could be responsible. If they're, well, not if we send them, but if you just hire them off the street, you could be responsible. So there's a lot to look into when you're hiring somebody to come to your house. Plus, you know, the honesty factor to me is huge, because, I mean, they're in that house alone with your mom or dad,
right,
who may have dementia or Alzheimer's and can't really tell you what's going on. So that's scary.
Yes.
That is very scary.
It's like, who are you going to trust for your little babies that can't talk? It's
exactly.
Almost, it's such a full circle thing.
But, you know, so often, in fact, we have a new client in the Easley area, and he's 90 and very competent. Mm-hmm. You know, he just is not feeling safe driving on his own anymore and just wants somebody there to fix some meals and just kind of be there and help him. And he said, you know, I just really like you, because you're right here. And I can come and see you if I want to, you know. And he liked that piece of it. But that's the generation that they like to look you in the eye, and they like to talk to you and know that you're there, you know. So, and some franchises don't offer that necessarily. But then there are franchises that do. So, you know, because we help each other out. I mean, I may have a job in in a part of Greenville County that I just really don't have sitters to go. So I may call someone that I know and trust and say, look, I really need some help with this.
That's
and
great.
If you can cover it, then we'll just make that transition for you to have the job. Mm-hmm. Because that's what it's all about. I mean, it's just taking care of everybody and
the service piece
right,
of it. Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely. So DHEC or whatever the right organization is in somebody's area, making sure they're licensed with them.
Mm-hmm,
any other red flags, like, especially with the facility? I think it's so hard. I feel like sometimes they put their best foot forward.
They do.
And it's hard to know what that particular care, and I guess there's really no 100% guarantee.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
Not with anybody.
Yeah.
I have done this long enough that we've had clients probably go to every facility in the area. And I get feedback from the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a lot of families that ask me, what is your experience? And, you know, I'm honest with them.
Good.
You know,
yeah.
Because I would want to know.
Absolutely. You know? So it's finding that team in your local area, a service like yours, that you can also
mm-hmm.
use that expertise when
yeah.
that next
yeah.
level comes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything is so mobile, and you can go to all these services websites and look at the reviews. But, you know, don't be afraid to say, could I speak? Is there any way I could get in touch with any of your previous clients mm-hmm. or current clients?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so of course I will check with them first to see if they want to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, it's okay.
That's right.
But, you know, it's just making sure that the caregivers are, that's really what they are. They're really caregivers, and they're not just doing it for the money.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Because we all need to work. That's not what I'm saying. But not everybody can, you know, change a diaper on an adult.
Right. It's called
to
do
this. And help them to the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I have some ladies that's been with me probably 15 or 20 years, and they are fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the certified nursing assistants, that's another piece of it, but we don't require that they be certified. If they have experience and worked in nursing homes or just worked with other people, to me, that's enough, you
yeah.
know, because it's harder and harder to get good caregivers.
Sure.
There's so many of us now.
Yeah.
But so if, you know, like your original question, which I kind of got off track, but if you're looking, you're just going to have to go with your gut feeling mm-hmm. and find out, I mean, talk to the owner, talk to the person coming out, you know, and be present.
Right.
You have to show up and yeah. check on things and see how things are going.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk a few minutes about long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We actually just had our first experience with this with my husband's grandmother, who is 90, and she fell, broke her ankle. She lives by herself still, and fell and broke her ankle and was in a wheelchair for either 6 or 8 weeks. So she had to have in-home care. Talk about scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
It was scrambling. So we found somebody, and she has long-term care insurance, but what Richie didn't know, because he didn't read through all the paperwork, and it's not no fault of his, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got the stack here.
Exactly.
And then, you know, the people who purchase the insurance, they do it so much, usually years and years before they actually need it.
Yeah.
You don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to file the claim within 30 days. Well, it didn't get filed within 30 days, and he even appealed it, and they wouldn't pay it. So and it's so frustrating, you pay in for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just one story that I wanted to share to say, make sure you look at the paperwork.
Exactly.
But what else can you tell us about? When is the right time to buy it? What's the best way to go about it?
Well, you know, early on, our experiences as a business with long-term care was just what you just said. I always got the feeling the insurance companies were looking for ways to not pay
yeah.
versus to pay. When long-term care insurance came out, I mean, it was the thing to do, the thing to get, and nobody really knew what they were buying.
Mm-hmm.
Some people thought if they bought that long-term care insurance, then everything would be taken care of. No worries. Well, in 25 years, when they need it, they realize, no, it only paid for a licensed facility. It didn't
mm-hmm.
pay for care
at home.
You know, or like you say, you have to file the claim within 30 days. Or, I mean, I don't know. It was a nightmare mm-hmm. for most of my clients. So I just got a really bad taste in my mouth about long-term care insurance mm-hmm. for years. I don't have it. I may regret, my children might regret that one day, but I don't have it. But I will say, you know, most of those insurance companies that sold it are no longer selling it, mm-hmm. because it was, I don't know really why. But there are a few that still do, and I think that's much improved. Mm-hmm. So the time to buy, you know, probably around 50, mm-hmm. I would think. But I'm not sure if the premiums continue to go up mm-hmm. every year or every 5 years or something. But I did speak with a, he's kind of a financial person a few months ago, and his company, which I think is Ameriprise, they're actually selling a long-term care policy that you can get some of the money back. Mm-hmm. Because, see, that was another thing that just really, I just couldn't understand. I mean, you pay all this money in, and if you die or never use it, you don't get a dime back.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really an investment by any means. Mm-hmm. It was just like a car insurance policy, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And then if you didn't really know what you were getting, it was so frustrating. Because I worked with clients, and, you know, because as far as the service is concerned, we have to send mountains of paperwork and, you know, all the invoices and all the daily care notes and just on and on and on. And they're always looking for ways to disqualify.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, but, it, you know, it's been quite a while since I've worked with anyone that had long-term care. Most I think people, everybody got just so sick yeah. of it. But
are most people self-insured then? I mean, self-insured meaning they've hopefully saved enough.
They're hoping that
that's the case, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But There's still a few out there probably that are okay.
Right.
You know, it's better than nothing, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. And if it will pay some on skilled nursing or assisted living, then that's a plus.
Right.
I mean, anything's a help, mm-hmm. you know, especially when Medicare doesn't cover right. any of that.
So it's just making sure you know what the timelines are. Mm-hmm. And so maybe mm-hmm. even if you have a financial planner, starting there, you know, because they do have right. access to all different mm-hmm. plans and insurances, starting there and seeing what they suggest. And
yes, yes.
Really, at our age, we really should have a trusted financial planner. So I'll just
exactly.
put that plug in there. If you mm-hmm. don't, get it now mm-hmm. and
that's
get your
true.
Will done now.
Get
and
it all done all now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because not only is it just smart, but it puts your mind at ease.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then when your children are older, you know, you need to have that conversation mm-hmm. with them mm-hmm. and say, okay, this is what we have and
right.
this is what we want. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially your age group, Well, they know more now than mm-hmm. say even I knew at
sure.
that age. And you're planning, mm-hmm. and then you'll have that conversation with your children.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know if your parents did with you, but see, that's just, they just didn't do that.
No.
My parents didn't do that,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
They're, like I said, they're sweet, and they've thought about it in the last 5 years, but they're very healthy, too. We haven't had to, you know, we haven't had to worry about
yeah.
any facilities or home care or anything for them. So it might have been very different, you know, had they been sick.
Right.
So, but having those conversations early on is, you know, just very
yeah.
important.
Yep. So we talked a little bit about legal, and so finding a agency like mm-hmm. Aging Life Managers will help with kind of the checklist there as well.
Mm-hmm, right.
I guess just as, this is kind of a selfish question a little bit, but my sister's in Chapel Hill. My parents mm-hmm. are in Chapel Hill now, and so she's front line, and I'm here. And she's a physician, which makes it even a little bit more intense for her, I think, because
right.
with the things that my parents are going through as they're getting older, especially my father, they look to her for a lot of mm-hmm. information. And I hear things third hand, you know,
yeah.
that of what's going on. So what, I mean, are there any tips you can share for siblings who definitely both want to be involved, but you're geographically, maybe there's more of one frontline person. Anything you've seen mm-hmm. that has been helpful?
Mm-hmm.
For navigating that?
The frontline person typically is the one that lives the closest
mm-hmm.
and that they see the most frequently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about family dynamics.
Yeah.
If you and your sister have always had a good relationship mm-hmm. and with your parents, it's probably going to continue.
Okay.
You know, but if you haven't, or if, you know, maybe you haven't been the one to check on your parents or have much to do with them, mm-hmm. then they're not going to be looking at you and feel any confidence,
right?
You know, but hey, when it gets to that point, if it's been a family that was not close and didn't help out, it's not going to change
right.
when mom and dad get sick, I can assure you,
yeah.
because I deal with that. Probably the family dynamics is something I deal with mostly.
I bet. You're probably very much part therapist.
Yeah, I do feel like sometimes I need to hang out my shingle.
Right.
But it's usually what I find, it's the one that's the closest, mm-hmm. and it's usually a daughter, and it's usually just one person, mm-hmm. the one. And then the other siblings might show up sometimes.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. yeah.
Because then there's the whole financial part of it, too. Because what if mom and dad doesn't really have the money to hire someone to come in? So now the children are having to chip in.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a whole other issue.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to decide how much everybody's going to pay mm-hmm. to take care of mom and dad because they can't be by themselves.
You know, it's interesting you say that because that is something that could be a very real thing for us on my husband's parents' side, and him being the sole provider. It's mm-hmm. something to think about when you're talking to your financial planner that I don't even know if we've really talked to him about that, is also having mm-hmm. a plan in mm-hmm. place, not only for your daughter's wedding, but,
right.
you know, for what if this does come to fruition mm-hmm. down mm-hmm. the road, what mm-hmm. do we need to do to make sure that we are all, you know, mm-hmm. Secure in our plan, financially
right.
secure in our plan, but then mm-hmm. also for them as well.
Yeah, and I see that very often
mm-hmm.
where the children are pitching in so much a month mm-hmm. to pay for the mom and dad services. Yeah,
well, it's something to think about for sure.
But, you know, too, if your mom and dad are still alive together, then they're somewhat seeing about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that with my own parents. When one of them passes away, it's going to be a totally different story
right.
for us. Because, I mean, they live very close to me, and I'm checking on them, you know, a couple times a week, and my husband stops by. But they're right there, mm-hmm. you know. But if one of them passes away or when they do, it's going to be very different.
It'll be a different conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because it's that one that's left behind is going to need so much more attention and care and checking on and, you know, that kind of thing.
That's true.
But, and I do think it is just checking on them and seeing how they're doing, because another thing we find is that when you talk to them on the phone or just go by for a brief visit, everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even with my clients, they can just really put up a big front of being okay when the children are around, but then when it's just them and the caregiver, mm-hmm. it's totally different.
Interesting.
You know, because they can really, I mean, they want to be on their best
right.
when their children are around, or somebody like me, or, you know, that's coming out to do an assessment. Oh, yeah, I can cook, I can take my medicine, but
yeah,
you know, it's not happening.
Well, that's probably fear-based,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that, okay, if I show this, then they're going to start talking to me about the facility option, and that's
mm-hmm.
so sad. I never thought about it from that
yeah.
perspective.
Yeah, they're very scared,
yeah.
as you said, about what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and that has to be just such a sad
I know.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that's not your intention at all.
Right.
You're only trying to help.
Right.
But they take it as, oh, my independence, you know, especially the driving piece.
Yeah.
If it's time to take the license,
mm-hmm.
oh, my goodness,
yeah.
that is very hard.
But, you know, I think that if we, it all goes back to communication, right? So
mm-hmm.
maybe knowing that now that we do a better job as the kids to tell our parents, this is not, you know, we're not trying to
mm-hmm.
push you in
mm-hmm.
this facility way
right.
or this care way. It still is your decision,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
give or take. But just saying it, you know,
mm-hmm.
rather than
mm-hmm.
them having this fear over here and then you're getting frustrated over
right.
here, just
yeah.
to really talk it through.
It is better to talk it through,
mm-hmm.
Which is hard sometimes. But I do think once you do it, it kind of puts everyone at ease.
Right.
Because if you say, look, we're just thinking down the road. Mm-hmm. And we want to know what your thoughts are. What do you want to do? You know, where do you want to stay here with caregivers around the clock, knowing the cost, you know, what the cost would be? Or do you want to go to an assisted living facility and be with other people your age? Or, you know, it just depends on what they want.
Yeah.
And some people do great in assisted living because they're very social and, you know, they have their dinner times and, you know, happy hours in the
mm-hmm.
afternoon, and they just, you know, they love it. But then some don't.
Yeah.
Some just don't want to be a part of all that.
Yeah.
So it's just hard, you know, to navigate those waters.
Absolutely. So, you know, having access to resources and tools, you've given us some great ones. If anybody wants to contact you, what's the best way to, if anybody wants your services locally?
You know, it's sittersregistry.com.
Okay.
And then our Facebook page is Sitters Registry. So, you know, we're always there, and the phone, you know, it's 24/7 with healthcare. No holidays, no weekends.
Is that
weekends.
Right? You have somebody's always manning the phone.
Yeah, we're always available 24/7. Now, that doesn't mean you can call me at 2 in the morning and I can have someone at the hospital or whatever by 3. That just doesn't happen. But, you know, we can answer questions and be available the next morning or whatever, you know. But we have to have that 24/7 piece because we have sitters that get sick early in the morning and can't get to their job, and we have to know about that. But it's an interesting business that, you know, I have met so many wonderful people through the years and, you know, maintained those contacts with a lot of them, and it's been good.
I know, it's good. All right, so to wrap it up, I always like to ask my guests what aging confidently means to you personally.
Okay. And I should know by now, you know. But I think it's just being comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just I like to surround myself with strong women, friends, which I do have. You know, we've all been through all kind of things, you know, good things, bad things, you know, losing a spouse or losing parents, fun things like grandbabies, and, you know, it's, but I think having somebody, other women to go to and just talk about things, but and just being comfortable, you know, with how you feel and how you look. I think we all struggle, as you know, with appearances and, but I have learned through the years that do the best you can.
Yes.
At the end of the day, be happy with what you did, what you said, where you were.
Yeah.
You know,
I love it.
I think that's important.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for all this wonderful information. I know it's going to be helpful not only for now, but it's a great resource for when people might need it in the future. And I think the main point is actually don't wait till the future to talk about it now
and create a plan.
So that's great. Thank you. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you've learned something today that is helpful to you. If so, please share this podcast with your friends so we can grow our Aging Confidently tribe. Please go to either iTunes or Google Play, wherever you listen to your podcasts, and subscribe, rate, and review. We will be here on the Aging Confidently podcast Facebook page every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. So please feel free to leave questions of things, of the topics that we're going to be talking about, or if you have something you want to learn more about, let me know and I can hopefully find somebody to help us out. So lastly, we are all beautiful and have so much to offer this world, especially when we can come from a place of gratitude and confidence. So let's age confidently together and turn the so-called midlife crisis into a midlife inspiration. See you next time.